we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, welcome our marvelous, marvelous audience to another show with Peter and Ginger Breggin.
Our wonderful audience.
On America Out Loud Pulse.
Yep.
Which is the product of a wonderful, wonderful man. And these are really true wonderfuls. Malcolm, who runs America Out Loud. I always like to thank Malcolm. I just did a wonderful show with him celebrating the 8th anniversary of America Out Loud. And I was so honored to be one of three people that were on with him celebrating his show.
That aired on Sunday, which was March the 31st. And I think you could search under Malcolm as one of the hosts on America Out Loud and look back for the March the 31st podcast.
And we're trying to get it up on our...
I'll send it out in our Substack too, yes.
Great, great.
Once it goes to podcast. Yeah.
Well, again, without exaggerating, we're also having on today somebody that I feel very positively toward, who actually means a lot to me for himself and for his family. And his name is Frank Zelenko. And you'll immediately associate correctly him with Vladimir Zev Zelenko, who passed away not long ago, and who is known as really the man who first cutting edge discovered by hard work, talking to people around the world and reading exactly how to treat COVID-19. When everyone was saying, no, you can't treat COVID-19. I don't know that he at the time knew why that was happening, but I know he certainly got it pretty quickly, that in fact they wanted us to sit around and die until we got the vaccines, and also to be submissive in many ways, destructive to our democracies with the lockdowns and the shutdowns and the closing of businesses and churches and so on. And he got very close to the president. He got to know the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, and had lunch with him and talked about the protocol with him. And the protocol became a part of Trump's thinking for a time. And after that, you know, there's much debate about what happened to Donald Trump in terms of his supporting the massive tragic mistake of the vaccines and Operation Warp Speed. So Frank is the younger brother. Frank describes himself as witnessing Dr. Zelenko caring for his patients, assisting him, and saw the profound success of Dr. Zelenko's treatment of COVID patients. And he's continuing to work toward informing the world about Dr. Zelenko's protocol, which actually could treat, as he's pointing out, a whole wide variety of viruses in that general group of the RNA viruses. He also edited a book by Dr. Zelenko, Essence to Essence, which is Torah themed, and I'm really looking forward to getting a copy. I'm expecting to read a book that profoundly moves me, much as my many personal conversations with Zev did. I think Zev and I had a brother-like relationship, even though you're his real brother, not to take away from that. But I dearly loved your brother. And I think the feelings were returned. Now, I've been on Frank Zelenko's, what do you call it? It's a podcast. And we had, I just found out, we had a tremendous response of over 100,000 people on the live stream. That's just mind-blowing. And he does this in coordination with another person I know, Zvi Lipschitz. And,
that's right.
I got that right.
Yeah.
And finally, I met Frank on Root and Branch, a podcast from Lowell Joseph Galen out of Israel. And it's a particular segment of it called the Medical Fellowship Seminars. Zev Zelenko started those. And because of that, I became quickly involved in it. I tend to go on it between once and twice a month. So that's the end of the introduction. I don't have a real preconceived notion about what the show will be about. I want to just allow Frank Zelenko to talk about himself, his brother, his family, anything he'd like to talk about, Judaism, the Torah. We've had all kinds of interesting conversations, and I just want to welcome you aboard and introduce you to our wonderful, wonderful audience. Let me ask one thing to get you started.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How do they get to follow your podcast?
Okay, so the best place to see us is on the platform Clout Hub, Clouthub. Okay, if you were to look for Truth Fanatics, that's the name of our podcast, and I'm sure you'll find us.
Thank you.
And we're also on Rumble.
Good. Check out.
Yeah, the Nation on Rumble. The channel is called The Nation of Israel. But the podcast, it's still called Truth Fanatics.
Great. Well, where would you like to start chatting with us today?
Well, I think I should always start with what's most important and the only reason why I ever go on podcasts or show my face, you know, because it's because of the information, the message that my brother wanted to share with the world. He can't do it now himself. And it seems to me, and not just because he's my brother, but it seems to me like probably the most important information on earth for people to know. And you'll let me know if you agree or not, or maybe
I'm with you.
All right. So he felt that he figured out how to treat most of the viruses in the single strand RNA virus category. There's a ton of viruses in that category. The flu, for instance, the flu alone is how many people die from the flu, and how many vaccines are made for all of these different viruses. What if they're all unnecessary? Of course, they're all likely unnecessary. And you know, think about the countless people that have died and have suffered from viruses in the single strand RNA category. Now, I know there are other types of viruses, but it seems to me, if you know, I could be mistaken, that the single strand RNA virus or the RNA viruses in general have claimed the lion's share of lives, human lives.
I think so.
So, it seems to be a nice little tip. it's an interesting, very important piece of information that probably every human being should be entitled. I'm not big on entitlement in general. I'm very American, but this might be something that all humanity should be entitled to. This piece of information, which is the following, that if you were to take supplemental zinc, and you would combine that with a substance called a zinc ionophore. So that helps zinc get to where the virus is. Viruses are usually, this is how my brother explained it to me. I'm no expert. I'm just parroting what he said. He's the expert. And he said that viruses are hiding within our cells. And zinc can stop the viral replication if it's a single strand RNA virus. But you need to get the zinc to where the virus is. And being in the cell, you have to get the zinc past the cell membrane. So you need a specific, you need a substance called zinc ionophore to help the zinc to carry it or to ferry it through to where the virus is located. So examples of zinc ionophores are probably the most famous now is ivermectin, and then you have hydroxychloroquine, right? And then there's chloroquine. It's a different version of it. And then you have those are all prescription.
Chloroquine.
How did I say it? Chloroquine? That's what I said?
Queen. You put a kind of a queen on that. But that's fine. I just didn't want to confuse folks.
HCQ.
HCQ.
HCQ. All right. So, and then my brother, when Cuomo made it impossible for people to get hydroxychloroquine.
You got it.
In New York, my brother was looking to see if there's any other sources for zinc ionophores, and he discovered that quercetin, it's weaker, but it's still effective. And it's actually saved people's lives. And I'll tell you that a little bit later. People who didn't have access to hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. So he found out that quercetin is also an effective zinc ionophore. And as luck would have it, you don't need a prescription. It's supplemental. Okay, he was searching through the medical literature to see, and he found quercetin. And then later he found EGCG. That's a green tea. That's a supplement which is extracted from green tea. And usually people would ask me, well, what if I just drink green tea? And don't do that because you're not going to get the concentration that you need. Everybody's a wise guy. Everybody had that question. I'm just preempting it. I'm nipping it in the bud if anybody had that question. So those are the four zinc ionophores that I'm familiar with. Once again, that's ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, and EGCG. And if you combine those four, any one of them, with supplemental zinc, you can stop the virus from having the ability to replicate. And I think that's an important piece of information. And I've been struggling for a couple of years now on social media to get this information out to the world. I failed miserably because there's, you know, how many people have heard about my brother in general? Maybe 100 million. I know that sounds like a lot of people, and it is. But when you think about how many people there are on Earth, it's nothing.
So, Frank, the other thing you're doing already, which I haven't heard hardly anybody else do, is you're pointing out that it's a general antiviral protocol. And that's of vast importance for the RNA group. It's very easy to identify. We know which viruses are which are the DNA, the double helix, and which are the single strand. And I think that's incredibly important. Have you heard anybody else emphasizing that? I have not.
So the only people, again, I can't say that I listen to everybody. There's a lot of people out there saying things. It hasn't really been reported to me because I feel like enough people know that I want people to talk about this. So I have to give credit to Roseanne Barr. She let me come on her show and explain this. So a lot of credit to her. Although she couldn't have me on YouTube. She could only have me on her Rumble show because YouTube would kick her off because for having me on, because my last name is Zelenko. That's not allowed on YouTube. And hydroxychloroquine. You're not allowed to say those two words or anything anti-vax. So I have the distinct privilege of being the only guest too controversial for Roseanne Barr. And that's kind of amazing if you think about it. But I have to give it to Roseanne. I'm very grateful for that. General Flynn, I have 1.6 million views on my brother's that little video where my brother explains. He himself explains his protocol. And its application, and what the implications are for the world, and General Flynn shared it, so the vast majority of the views that he's got, I have to give it to him, and also as much as I would not like to say this, but I have to because it's true. Alex Jones. Alex Jones also shared my brother's that video, and many of the views that it got are attributed to the fact that he shared it. So you got to give credit where credit is due. But nobody else. Nobody else. Well, now there's you. I'm very happy to add you to that list. So,
well, we've been talking about your brother from the beginning. And of course, okay. I forgot to mention this, but he wrote an introduction to our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. And so he's got his name on the book along with Peter McCullough and Dr. Elizabeth Lieb-Leet. And I'm sure that his name helped with it, you know, with making it a, by our standards, best, well, it is by any standard, bestseller, 160,000 copies now.
Wow.
So we were very early in touch. Ginger, how early?
He was the first. When COVID hit and the lockdown started, I was desperately trying to find some of the doctors that were bubbling up. Basically, Dr. Zelenko, Dr. McCullough, and you know, I wanted to connect Dr. Bregan to them. And I was able first to connect with Dr. Zelenko. And it was incredible. I almost cried when I actually reached him. I was so appreciative of that because we really wanted to help to broadcast his message. He offered such a message of hope at such a hopeless time. We were all as a country and as a world so propagandized about the dangers and the fear that accompanied this event that it was just a huge relief to connect with him and begin to wrap his message in with what we were saying.
Do you know roughly when that was in 2020?
March.
I think it was his.
Wow, that was March. Right. That was right in the very beginning. March.
Yes.
That's when
March, April, something like that.
And we had him on multiple times, and Ginger and I, and often along with Mom, would talk to him on the phone for a while on a weekly basis, and then there, you know, he got so busy. We all got so busy. I can't even say he's a tremendous loss because I'm sure you feel the same way, Frank. I feel like he's here. I feel like he's affected me and changed me, not so much with the protocol, but with the unabashed
faith.
Devotion to God.
Yes,
his faith was just stunning. And I saw him as a prophet. I used to call him a prophet.
He is. He's a medical prophet.
I didn't put the medical in. I just said a prophet.
I've been rewatching a lot of his interviews because I never had a chance to actually watch his interviews. I probably am one of the people who had gotten to see the least of his interviews because I was on the phone with his patients during COVID while he was having all those interviews.
Wow.
I should say that the reason why I feel so strongly about my brother's message is because I was an eyewitness. I don't think anybody had the perspective that I did. Did you want to say something?
Frank, we got to go to, I got so deeply involved, I stopped looking at the timer. And we're talking with Frank Zelenko, brother of Vladimir Zev Zelenko. We'll be back in a moment. Peter and Ginger Bregan.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
And we're back. We're here on America Out Loud Pulse on every Thursday, Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan, and we have a wonderful guest with us today, Frank Cilenko, brother of Dr. Zev Cilenko.
Who is gone to heaven, and we feel his presence always. Frank, you were starting to talk more about your work with him.
So, I think if I explain what I was doing, how I was assisting him, people would understand why I feel so strongly about his message. So he asked me to assist him with his patients, his COVID patients, which he was treating remotely. You know, it was telemedicine. They call it. So my phone would be ringing around the clock, literally around the clock for a long time. And my job was to speak to the patients, set the appointments, you know, so that they have their consultation with him. And then if he were to prescribe his protocol, that my job was to get them their prescriptions. That was the hard part, because it was very difficult to find pharmacists. It was about a 50-50. When you call a pharmacist and you know, you try to get the prescriptions, the pharmacist very often felt during that time, possibly even now, that they know better than the doctor. I'd have to fight with pharmacists. So sometimes it would take me three different pharmacies or four different pharmacies per patient. So it's not very complex work. It just takes some endurance. Okay. So that's what took up the majority of my time. But I got to see how people were calling him who were ill. And by the way, he only treated high risk patients. He did not treat young, healthy people, only people with serious chronic issues, or people who fall into the high risk category, which is 50 and over generally. Okay. So I got to see these patients or interact with them when they're very sick. I got them their prescriptions, and then I spoke to them when they were all recovered. So after, I lost count after 2,000 or 2,500, and it just kept going like that. And not a single exception to that result the entire time that I was, while he was treating COVID patients.
You had no deaths on your watch.
No, none at all. Now,
yeah. And we hear this, folks. This is not like he's making an outlandish claim. There are many, many physicians who have treated thousands of patients, and if they have a death, it's always because the patient got to them too late.
So I just wanted to make a comment, because when my brother, he published a study that he did with two other scientists from Germany. I forgot their name. So I was helping him gather the data for the study, because I joined him after he'd already treated about 300 patients, 350, something in that range. And so my job was to call them and to talk to them and everything. So the study reported three deaths. In fact, it was actually two. One of the people who was reported as a death, it turned out later, we found out later, that he did not take the protocol. He was convinced by his by some of his relatives to not take it. And the other person who one of the people who passed away was severely ill, like like he had like cancer and diabetes and hepatitis and like and was you know was very elderly, okay. And so he had a lot going against him. So that was a very exceptional kind of case. Everybody else made it, thank God. So you know, that information might not be known to people who read the study, because we found something out a little bit later after that. So because I saw that, I don't know anybody else who possibly had that perspective. Like for instance, I had a buddy of mine who he ran a telemedicine company called Synergy Health DPC.com. He saved many, many people during COVID. I would refer patients to him, those who I could, my brother couldn't treat. He had a big staff. He had many providers, healthcare providers. And you know, each one of them saved many patients, but I don't think any single one saw as much success as I did, even more than my brother. You know,
yeah, because, yeah, you're unique.
So I have to so that because of that, you know, I have no other qualifications and no reason to talk to your audience, but I saw that. I gotta tell you about it. That's it. Simple as that.
Well, it's a gift to the world. It's really a gift to humanity, this knowledge of this protocol that can address these illnesses, these viruses that carry off, especially our beloved, vulnerable, very old people. And my 97-year-old mom lives with us, and we're grateful for every day we have her, and she's very strong, although she's mostly blind and has gait issues and needs a walker, but she's very together, and it's a blessing to have her. And she's actually on the protocol, actually.
As a preventive.
Yeah, that's right. Quercetin and zinc.
Now, in the process of people getting sick, there are other measures that become part of a protocol, such as for inflammatory disease, just becoming overwhelming, adding prednisone to it, adding vitamin D to it, and adding, if the person gets sick, sicker and sicker, you know, early on if they start getting sick, adding one of the antibiotics. I think they were using doxycycline. Yeah. We were using
The Z-Pak.
Ginger and I and Mom both went through the protocol. We got very sick this time. We got sick at an odd time, which was early, like in February of 2020.
Well, actually, it was the end of January 2020 before anybody really knew what was going on.
And that was probably because I was working with Chinese students who were I had several in my practice, my therapy practice, which I still have, who were going back and forth to China. And there's a large Chinese population that would go to the stores we went to and to the restaurants we would go to. But then we got it very badly this past March of last year, a year ago, under suspicious circumstances, because the only place we went to together on a regular basis, the only place, I rarely went anywhere, was to our chiropractor. And when we came down with this, Ginger called to cancel a chiropractor, and he noticed was we're closed because of COVID. And if they were going to get us something, give us something from the wider world of predators, that would have been the only place that they had access to me outside the home and Ginger together. So, you know, it's always hard to know about those things. But how did you handle those particular issues, or did you leave them to other people, the issues of prednisone or an antibiotic?
I'm really happy you brought that up, because I remember precisely how my brother dealt with. So if a patient would call him early in the process of viral infection, so he would just give him his basic treatment protocol, which would be, generally, 90% of his patients, he prescribed hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin.
Okay. That's the Z-Pak, folks.
They call it, there's like The Z-Pak is a, I think he called it a dosage schedule.
It's a little packet of how to take it.
For azithromycin, right. So it would be, I don't know if you can hear my boy in the background. Is that, oh, okay.
No, I'm not hardly anything.
Okay, so he would prescribe 400 milligrams of hydroxychloroquine per day with 50 to 100 milligrams of supplemental zinc, any type, okay? And it would be 500 milligrams of azithromycin per day for 5 days.
So he automatically prescribed that.
Right away. That would be his treatment protocol.
Yeah. If someone was sick.
Yeah. If someone was sick.
Sick, and that makes a lot of sense. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, we learned it from him.
That's right.
And then many others.
I'd like to tell you who he learned it from, but we'll just after, if we have time, I'll describe it. But for people who, let's say they didn't call him right away and they did not start the protocol immediately as they should have, or maybe they just didn't know about it. So generally, you know, it would progress a little more in those patients, and he would then add dexamethasone.
Yeah, that's the prednisone equivalent.
It's a prednisone. He generally used dexamethasone for people who didn't like that for whatever reason. He used prednisone. It's a corticosteroid, and so that would be like from 6 to 10 milligrams. I don't know how or why he dosed. I just remember I memorized this. So. For people who are a little bit worse, if he determined that, he would add colchicine, which is he explained to me a medicine used for gout, mm-hmm. but it had something to do with the inflammation.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory.
It would help with the inflammation, and so he used that very often.
Did he use D? Vitamin D. A lot of people
suffer. Absolutely. The supplemental stuff. He was very big on vitamin D. And he always added that to the protocol. Thank you for reminding me about that. That was very important. Also, vitamin C. So for people who were infected, so he would tell them to take 10,000 international units of vitamin D while they're taking the treatment protocol, and as a if they're taking a prophylaxis a preventative protocol. He would normally recommend 5,000 international units per day. Okay. So, we're at a stage where a person takes the regular protocol that he prescribed for treatment, right? The hydroxychloroquine, the zinc, and the azithromycin. And then he would add dexamethasone. And then if somebody's a little bit worse, he'd add colchicine to that. And then if somebody's even a little bit worse, he would even add budesonide. If he felt that as necessary. And if somebody was even in worse shape, he would then add a blood thinner. He would Eliquis, I believe, is what his go-to blood thinner was.
Right.
I don't know why. I'm just telling you what he did. Because I was arguing with the pharmacists about that. And that was his entire protocol, basically.
Yeah, and this is very much still the basic protocol of treatment.
Yeah, that's the kitchen sink. I just described, you know, when he would throw the kitchen sink and it never didn't work. It always worked.
And it wasn't a kitchen sink in a deep sense. It was a very carefully thought out protocol. I think it deserves a better adjective.
Yeah, I guess, right. My brother's goal was to keep people out of the hospital. That was his goal. So if I chose the wrong, I apologize. You're right.
Yeah, it's just these little fine points. Because we're really talking medicine right now. And so I want to just, you know, tighten up some of what you're saying. And it's all accurate what you're saying. It's all accurate. And he nailed it perfectly. We have 4 minutes to this segment. Do you want to start talking about how he developed these ideas and where he got it from?
Right. Normally,
I may interrupt you along the way to take a break.
So people correctly who care about the truth would say that he's the first one to develop the protocol and to use it to treat people's lives immediately. Okay. That's 100%. That's what my brother did. Okay. But somebody should get credit for developing the protocol 10 years prior to my brother's name is Dr. Ralph Barrick.
I forgot that. That is so bizarrely important. Tell folks who Ralph Barrick is.
Dr. Barrick is the one who he played a huge role in the gain of function research to make COVID deadly to people.
He was the leader.
He was the leader of that.
And Fauci's boy.
Still working down at the University of North Carolina,
Chapel Hill. Go ahead. This is fabulous.
And another thing is, it was explained to me by a gentleman named Ron Rees, who's a former intelligence analyst. He also developed remdesivir.
I didn't know that. This is new for me. I'm not surprised.
So he made COVID deadly to people. Before that, he was doing a lot of research with SARS COVID viruses, and he did research. He used Persian shallots, which turned out to be a zinc ionophore, and he combined it with zinc, and he published a study that it's effective against the viruses that he was working on, which were single-strand RNA.
Did you say Persian shallots?
Yes.
Onions, yeah, right?
That is correct.
Wow. Someone has written about how he craved bacon and onions, and that was all, while he was desperately ill. And I don't know that he was fully even aware of the protocol, but that's all he ate for a period of 2 weeks was bacon and tons of cooked onions.
But we don't know whether that's...
No, I know, but I just...
But go ahead with that. That's, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so apparently it's only Persian shallots because it has something called... Perithione. There's a substance which is unique to Persian shallots, which that is the zinc ionophore.
Oh,
and so he saw that it was effective. He did not continue doing animal trials like he's supposed to, right? He should have continued based on that discovery. Of course he didn't, because he was trying to kill half the world, right? Or more, who knows? So he's not going to let us know about it. So my brother stumbled upon it. I'm sure to the surprise of many of the people who were responsible for this global menace. So
I don't know if he was trying to kill half the world, or if he was trying to be the great man, or he was trying to be whatever. But his work has resulted in millions of deaths, untold numbers of deaths.
Well,
anything more about him? This is so interesting in regard to this. Send me the link to his paper, would you? And
absolutely.
We'll try to get it into this.
We'll put it into our write-up for this interview.
I'll be more than happy
Anything I can do to expose Ralph Barrick some more.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. He should be much more famous than he is.
Yeah.
He's kind of been in the background. That's right.
Yeah.
People forget about him.
His name is on the usually the last on the list, and people don't know. For many scientists, that's the primary place to be. That means you run the lab,
right?
And then the people are lesser known. My God, we're down to 13, 12, 10. We're going to come
seconds.
Back very soon again with Frank Zelenko and. Pick up on some of these really interesting topics. I'm learning. I like it when I learn stuff on the show.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
$58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
We're back with Frank Cilenko, the brother of Zev Cilenko. It's funny, see, I lower my voice when I'm having serious thoughts. And this is a problem for my clients, so I wear a little mic that is right up near my throat so they can still hear me when I lower my voice. But the mic here is a few feet away, and I just started to lower my voice, and my wife has to poke
me back. I'm poking him.
Poke me back into being clear with my voice. It's quite a habit. I must have thought as a younger man that maybe I got attention or something, and people would know I was really saying something important if I looked at them and spoke slowly and softly.
That's the theory anyway. I've heard that too.
But at my age, that becomes inaudible. Frank, can we talk about, or is there anything to talk about in terms here of Judaism and spirituality? You and I have had conversations about it. I don't know your relationship to your brother in that regard, whether he set an example for you. I know he was not spiritual or religious until he went on, as he told me, he went on a few months in Israel, and his main thought was picking up girls. And he was just an ordinary guy, finishing med school, I think, at the time. Correct me in any details. And he said he met another man, a mentor, and I've not talked to him much about this story, who said that you're on the wrong track, young man, and that it changed his life. Do you know anything more about that?
Absolutely. I know pretty much, as far as I know, everything, I think that everything there is to know about that. I should probably preface this by saying that we grew up in a secular family. My parents are from the Soviet Union, right? And they didn't have, they didn't have the opportunity to have a traditional Jewish education, right? So, if you ask them, probably like, unfortunately, like many Jews in the world right now, if you ask them, what are the 13 principles of the Jewish creed, they wouldn't be able to tell you one. So, but, like many Soviet Jews, they just didn't even have the opportunity to. So we kind of discovered it later. I was 14. My brother was, my baby was screaming. My brother.
We can't hear any background noise.
Okay, great. My brother started after college. Most people assume that I followed my brother. It used to bother me. Because, technically speaking, it's not true at all. But it's okay, So people think I was influenced by my brother. It stopped bothering me after a while. It's okay. But we both started becoming more observant around the same time. He was already out of the house.
What's the age difference between you and your brother?
7.5 years, almost 8 years.
Oh, it's long. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So. I was always, for some reason, religious. I always kind of, ever since my first can remember, I always felt and knew that there was a God. Nobody had really taught us that in the home. It just kind of was always there. So I was always worried about him because he would terrorize me, because he would say that he was an atheist when we were, when he was a teenager in high school and stuff like that. So, and I was worried about him. I'm like, where is he going to go? So, when you're a kid. So basically that's how it was. until about 14, and then he became observant, and he became very enthusiastic to learn. He was influenced while on a trip to Israel, like you said. And I was very happy about that. I was religious, but I was not specifically religious. You know, I was not connected to any particular religion. I felt all the religions had some morals to teach, and they all had their value, but the books were written by men, so I didn't give it too much. Until I was at a doctor's office and I saw an issue. I think it was Popular Science or one of those publications, and they were doing it was an old issue. It was on the codes in the Torah, the Torah codes. I don't know how many people are familiar with that subject, but you had these computer scientists who were also religious Jews. And they looked like rabbis to me. So when I first read it, I thought they were just a bunch of rabbis. And they were having this debate with these famous statisticians, you know, guys who were like big. And I was like, why are these scientists talking to these rabbis? And why is it being published? So that startled me at first, you know. And then when I actually got into the details of the discussion, you know, these computer scientists who were also Hasidic Jews, they found things in the text of the Hebrew scripture that are statistically impossible. Like there's information encoded in the scripture, not explicit, but encoded with these mathematical intervals. And basically whatever they looked for, they found with a shocking amount of detail. Let's say they did a search for Maimonides, and when they did a search, they used his Hebrew, how he is known in the Hebrew world, which is Rambam. That's an acronym for his name, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. So they found him. Not only did they find that name, they found it all in a very small like section of text, which is statistically significant. They also found information about the man's life, his most important contributions, and his birthday. So let's say, you know, the Rambam, right? Maimonides. If there's something you needed to know about Maimonides, it would be that he was known as the Rambam. He was the leader in his time. He was born on Passover. He wrote a book, his magnum opus, called the Mishneh Torah. It's a multi-volume text. And the subject matter of this encyclopedic work are the 613 commandments. Okay, so they found the title of his work, the first word underneath his name, and then on the bottom of the paragraph they found the second word in the title, and between these words they found 613 letters. I'm not explaining this very well. But it's statistically
now impossible. Maimonides is post-biblical.
Much, 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 much later. He lived less than a thousand years.
So I'm sitting here thinking, so it got in there from the future.
Like a prophecy.
Correct. So basically, you know, and we have in the general Torah tradition, we're taught that the Torah has all the information about the entire existence from the very beginning to now and to everything that will ever happen in the future. It's the basic.
This is all new to me and wondrous. Go ahead.
It's the basic blueprint. But, you know, and there have been rabbis who have like computer-like minds who were able to discover a lot of coded, you know, in the text, in the Hebrew scripture. But when you got computers, so some of these computer scientists who are also religious Jews, they're like, let's put it to the test. And boy, was, you know, they hit the jackpot. And so that was just one example. And as I was studying this, when I discovered this, I saw thousands of examples like this. And I was really taken aback because I felt like pressured now. Because if I'm going to be an honest person, I was like, it seriously doesn't seem like any finite being could manufacture this document.
Right.
So therefore I have to take what it says seriously. And I didn't like that at all, because no more McDonald's, no more nothing. everything that I did had to become conscientious, and I had to follow these laws, and I'm still kind of getting used to it 26 years later. But that's how I got to this. So
that's so interesting. Yeah, well, and Ginger,
it sounds as though you know, God really moves in mysterious ways to many of us, and it sounds as though both you and your brother were inspired in such important ways that completely informed the work that you've done, that have saved really, multiple millions of lives at this point in time, with the knowledge that your brother has shared, and the work that you did with him and his patients, and the work you're still doing, Frank. Thank you.
It's my honor. And it's very, very true what you just said. It reminded me of an important moment during COVID, because we both kind of had that, you know, we operate under that. We don't have faith in God, like, you know, whether or not God exists, and, you know, he's operating in real time, you know, everywhere at all, at every moment. That's, we feel that's knowledge rather than faith. Like, we just know that. So when it came time to share the information that my brother discovered with the success of his treatment initially early in March, when he started sharing it, you know, he started getting pushback, and some very strange people started contacting him, and then very strange, mysterious threats started to happen. And so, you know, he understood early that it was a risk to go really public with this. He was going to do it anyway, but I remember we're having a conversation. He's like, so, you know, I'm going to go public with this, but look what's happening. And I said to him, which he already knew, he didn't need to hear this from me, but I said to him, who are we scared of here? Little human, nothing politicians, or the one who's actually in control of everything? Who's scarier? If you're going to be scared of somebody, right? Be scared of so because we know that God's real, it really wasn't even a question. So that was the motivation. So
it makes a huge difference in terms of courage, and it's a great comfort. I know that there were moments when I was just practically just set back on my heels by the degree of evil I felt that we were uncovering. I would really feel brief periods of terror, and it was turning back to God that comforted me during those times and helped me not to shrink from all of it.
Yeah, that's the only that was clear. What you just said is very, very, very true, and I've seen it in many different contexts, especially when people were calling my brother for vaccine exemption forms. Okay. And I noticed something about the people. I'm not a sociologist by any means, but I happened to notice something, a pattern. And I spoke to hundreds of people about this, maybe more, that those who believed that their paycheck comes from man or their the institution that they work for, many of them, unfortunately, decided to throw their life away because they couldn't see life past a couple of paychecks. Which I'm not saying that, I don't mean to sound flippant. It is scary, right? Because it is the unknown. But those who know that God is real understand that their paycheck comes from God. It doesn't come from their boss. It comes from God. And God could find a different way to send you your paycheck. Whatever you're going to get, you're going to get. Just, you know, just don't throw your life away for something as trivial as a paycheck. And those who understood that, they didn't throw their life away. And those who felt that their paycheck comes from their boss, that really was the difference between life and death for many people. So you're right.
Have you had a sense of feeling, along with the understanding you have of the terror in it all, of being protected? Do you have a feeling of being protected?
being protected by God.
It's in a kind of like indirect way, because you know, you'll never know whether or not God will actually, you know, protect you, because there have been so many holy people that didn't make it historically, right? They were killed in the process of what they're doing. So you could say, well, God didn't protect them. So, right. So I looked at it more like, I better do what I know he's demanding of me, because whatever's going to happen, maybe he'll be easier on me as long as I cooperate. Okay. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm sorry if it doesn't sound very,
I love it to be like,
very heroic.
Sounds great.
That's just what it, that's what it was.
You're safe in our company.
That's what it was. Okay. It was, yeah. You know, it was a weird kind of religious cowardice where I'm just like scared. I'm like, all right, you know, maybe he'll be nicer to me if I cooperate. So
as I look back on my life, fights I got as a kid, on up to taking on so many powerful agencies and so on, it has always seemed to me that, and Ginger and I talk about this endlessly, actually, it's really a part of our lives, that when I have done what I understand to be right, I've been strangely protected. And when I've deviated, I learn right away that it's not the right thing. And it gets so concrete in perspective that when I would stand up for myself or a friend, I probably had 6 fights with bigger, stronger guys.
When you were a boy?
When I was a boy, I never lost one. And one day I lost my temper after playing really badly as a high school freshman basketball. I picked the fight. And
whoops.
I took a swing at a guy who was doing nothing, who was, as always, bigger than me. And he pushed me down. I fell quickly to the ground. It was at a school. And my arm went under the iron fence around the school. And he was sitting on me, and I was completely helpless. And he stood up and looked at me like, what a jerk, and turned around and walked away. So even then, I was protected. But I was then at the mercy of somebody else and was blessed, fortunate. But again and again, it's been like that. The license attack on us, which was the first thing that Ginger was deeply involved with me, maybe 2 years after we were together, and which she managed. And we won hands down. They apologized. And in the newspapers, they said it was a mistake to go after me. So this has happened again and again in our lives. And again, like you, I say, well, look, I cannot expect a special privilege. I mean, the Holocaust took 6 million of us, for God's sakes. So again, I'm embarrassed about it, but it seems to be a part of real life. We have 22 seconds left. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
I guess, come to the show, Truth Fanatics, and you know, we respond to the comments.
Super.
And that's on CloudHub, right?
On CloudHub and on Rumble.
Wonderful audience. You've been listening to Frank Zelenko. Just a wonderful man and a part of our friendship circle. Thanks for being on the show, Frank. And you can have me back on yours whenever you want.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thank you so much.